Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you've made time in your schedule to share these few minutes with me as we go into the Word of the Lord. I began a message yesterday I've entitled, With Jesus in a Storm, and we're looking at a familiar gospel story that is described in three of the New Testament gospels, in Matthew 8:23-27, in Luke 8:22-25, and we've been looking at the more extended version in Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I was sharing some significant facts about the Lake of Galilee, that it's the world's lowest freshwater lake, and it's surrounded by towns on the north part of the lake, and there are high hills and narrow valleys that actually function as wind tunnels. And so, as the gospel narrative described, Jesus and his disciples had gotten into a ship. He had fallen asleep because he'd had a day of teaching, and all of a sudden, this tremendous storm arose. Well, the Sea of Galilee is notorious for that. In a very short time, waters can be whipped up into a frenzy very quickly. And on this particular occasion, let me read actually what it says in Mark, the fourth chapter. It says, there arose, in verse 37, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. All right, picture this. Jesus was asleep. These disciples, I shared about seven of them, were seasoned sailors who were very familiar. They had fished this particular lake. So this had to have been an extraordinary storm for them to lose their nerve. They were not overreacting. Jesus was asleep. In the midst of all that, they were in a serious battle in their very area of expertise. If anyone knew how to handle a small craft in a storm, they were very capable. And it said they were afraid. What was Jesus doing? He was asleep. And it says, not that they were taking on a little bit of water. Now, they didn't wake Jesus immediately, but they were doing what they could in terms of their knowledge of seamanship, if you will. And the boat, nonetheless, was full. And if it didn't change, they were going to go down. And so, what happens? He was asleep. He was obviously exhausted from a full day of teaching, and so he was sleeping on a sailor's leather rowing cushion provided for the guest of honor, and that was placed at the stern away from the major splashing of the waves. They, however, were in a state of panic. How could he sleep in such a storm? He was physically exhausted, of course, his human nature was, but obviously, spiritually, he had perfect trust in the Father. He wasn't concerned. And it's very interesting to note what awakened Jesus. It wasn't the howling of the wind, the crashing of the waves, the moving up and down of the boat, but it was the weak, frail cry of those in distress. Let's read verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So look at this. What do we see? We see two things arising. The storm in verse 37 A great storm of wind arose, the waves beat into the ship so that it was full. And in verse 39, it says, and he arose. In verse 39, Jesus arose. And beloved, I want you to understand and just realize, never fail to connect the two. If ever a storm arises in your life and you feel like you're about to be overwhelmed, to go beneath the waves that are rising around you and the wind that's howling about you, remember that Jesus will too. He will arise. And his panic-stricken disciples, they called him teacher, some translations say, but they did not yet understand his teaching. And Jesus rebuked them for their fear and lack of faith in him. And you know, even though they had been with him some time, that's true in our Christian walk. It takes the storms of life, really, to learn trust in the Lord. Because what's our natural response? We would be just like the disciples, even though they should have been quite accomplished, and they had been in obviously plenty of storms as fishermen on that very sea, because, you know, Galilee was, they would just do that. It was not an unusual thing. Yet, they were afraid, and they really believed they were going to perish. And when things happen in our lives, the Lord allows them, I think, at times so we can go through them safely, because we're not at the end of the story yet, but they come through it just fine, that we also have to see that Jesus is with us in our boat, and we don't have to be afraid. He rebuked them. Why? For their fear and their lack of faith in him. Their fear was the result of what their natural senses told them. And beloved, if there's fear in your heart right now, you're responding naturally to the things you've seen, to the things you've heard, the things that have been told you, the things that you are aware of. And that's not an unnatural thing. Natural fear, God's given that to some extent for our protection. I mean, obviously, if it wasn't a situation with Jesus in the boat, they would have to do what they could before they ever met Jesus. They would do what they could in terms of their own nautical skills, if you will, to preserve their own life. But Jesus now had come into their lives, and they were in a different place. And that's true of us, beloved. Jesus had already told his disciples that they would be crossing over to the other side of the lake. That's what it said in Luke. He said, let us go to the other side, Luke 8:22. And this was an excellent opportunity for them to act on the teaching that they had heard of Jesus that day, of on God's word. But it's so like us, we hear the word, and then we tend to forget it when the battle comes. And it's very interesting to hear what happens next. They waited. I mean, it wasn't just, they didn't wake him right away. They thought they could handle the situation. And just like in our lives, sometimes he allows us to go beyond the place where we are able, quote, to handle the situation. If it hadn't been that bad, the disciples, the sailors, they could have handled it. But sometimes we get in a place that it's simply, we're overwhelmed. And this psalmist tells us, when our spirit is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And some of you need that as you're listening to me right now. You need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord to the rock that is higher than you. If it wasn't for the Lord, you would be overwhelmed. But go to the refuge of that rock. Let him set you on a rock that cannot be moved, that cannot be shattered, that cannot be overtaken and overwhelmed by the storms of life. You know, they were in a crisis. And what does verse 39 says, it says in 38, they says, Master, care us not that we perish. And in verse 39, it says, he arose, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus, first of all, they said, you know, we're perishing, don't you care? Think about that in verse 38. Jesus never rebukes our cry for help. But what he was rebuking, he was indicting they issued an indictment against his love and care and protection of them. It says Jesus rebuked, literally, he ordered the wind and said to the waves, "Be silent, be muzzled, and remain so." The force of that Greek perfect tense, paphaismoso, this verb, it's be muzzled, it was somewhat of a technical term for dispossessing a demon of his power, and it suggests that Jesus recognized the demonic power behind this ferocious storm. But at his command, the wind stopped and the lake became completely calm. Verse 39, he arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, being experienced fishermen, it was not unusual on the Lake of Galilee for a storm to suddenly start and to cease just as suddenly, as quickly as it has begun. But after the wind would pass, well, the waves would continue to chop for a while. But Jesus had completely calmed the waters, and in stilling the storm, Jesus exercised authority and assumed that power and authority which is only given to God himself in the Old Testament. Psalm 89:8-9 says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." Right now, beloved, if those waves are rising against you, I speak in the name of Jesus that those waves and that storm of opposition, that demonic oppression and attack shall cease right now in the name of Jesus. And in his authority and name, I speak the very words he spoke. Peace, be still. Jesus is arising in your situation. The wind and the waves have arisen, but Jesus is arising and he's moving in your behalf, and you will see him calm that storm, and he's going to make a way for you, and all is going to be well. Praise God. That is the Lord that we serve. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and we're going to continue on this tomorrow and see what more the Lord has for us. But I trust even now, sometimes it's an immediate thing. Sometimes we've got to walk several days, sometimes several weeks, sometimes even longer through a time of storm. But God is faithful. If you need prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. I want you to know I love you, pray for you every day. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.